Do whatever he tells you. Amen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for the word of God. And we thank you that heaven and earth will pass away, but your words will remain. Thank you. Your words are life and light. Lord, fill us with your light, that we can take your light into dark places for your glory. We pray this in the name of light, the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. One of my favorite services of the year is Christmas Eve. And at the end of the service, we darken the church. We try to turn off all the lights. We have the candles on and the Advent wreath. But we try to turn off all the electric lights there. And we know that darkness is the absence of light. And we know that God's first creative act was what? Let there be light. And I, of all the things in our physical world, I think light best reflects who God is. Here's a slide. Let's read this together. This then is the message which we have heard of him. Declare unto you that God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. Well, I like the image because the church is dark, and then what we do is I take a candle, and is the destiny of this candle being fulfilled right now? Because it's designed to be lit. And like we are like a candle, and we are designed to have the light of Christ lit in our hearts. So I take a candle, and I go up to the Advent wreath and the Christ candle in the middle, and I light that. And then we have people come up and share testimonies of something the Lord did in their life recently or in that year. And people give testimony. And then they go back to where they came from, and they light people's candles around them. And as more people give testimony, the room gets this warm glow. The light just increases. And the illustration's obvious. The more we share the light of Christ, the lighter the world gets. And I think that we're in a time where there is a lot of darkness around us. And when we first started this pandemic situation, a while ago, I encouraged us to take the time not to isolate ourselves, but to reach out and to do whatever you can to stay connected with other people. Alicia made this image of this cross, and that's all of the pictures of our folks. It's a couple years old, but I like the whole sense of, you know, we are the body of Christ, that we need each other. We're family. We're to love each other. And Paul, in the letter that we're going to look at a little later in my sermon, encourages us to build one another up. And so that's the basic message of today, build one another up in Christ, to stay in touch, to reach out, and to take the light of Christ into places that are dark. Now, in our letter that we're going to look at, 1 Thessalonians, it's one of the oldest letters in the Bible. Paul and Silas and Timothy had gone into this city, Thessalonica, and gone into the city and preached the gospel, and they saw many people come to faith. But then they started saying that there's the king, the real king is the King Jesus, not Caesar, King Jesus. Well, that wasn't very popular, and a riot started, and they just barely got out of town before they were going to be persecuted, jailed, or even stoned to death. So that's how the church started. And after a while, Paul wondered, okay, how are they doing? They're under persecution. How are they doing? So Paul sent Timothy to go and visit them. And Timothy visited them. And then in the third chapter of the Thessalonians, it says, but Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. So what we have in 1 Thessalonians is kind of a response that Paul had to this good news that Timothy brought back about what was happening in this church. But he also brought back some questions. And the first question was they had is, when will Jesus return? And understanding that they're under persecution, they're seeing people die for their faith, you can see why that question would be especially important to them. And the other question was about death. What happens when somebody dies? Now, what both of those things have in common, the return of Christ and what happens when somebody dies, is that we're talking about the end of somebody's life here on earth, either by the return of Jesus or by their death. So what happens when a person dies and when Jesus comes back is both those things mean that it's the end of our time here on earth. How much time do we have left on earth?
We don't know.
You think about people and car accidents and things happen. This is a really wonderful passage. You know, you think, how many grains of sand left in our life? How many months? How many years? So let's read this together. So teach us to number our days so that we may get a heart of wisdom. This is from Psalm 90, which is actually a prayer of Moses. It's a prayer of Moses. And what's he telling us to pray for? He says, pray that you appreciate the brevity of your life. I think of Martin Luther King Jr. when he gave that speech about time that we heard. He only lived about 3.5 years after he gave that speech. And so what is Moses calling us to pray? Lord, help us understand the brevity of life so that something will change inside of us, our hearts will change, so we'll gain more and more wisdom to know how to use the time we have left here on earth. Yesterday at our men's group on Zoom, we had a great discussion about our legacy. What's going to be our legacy after we leave this earth? What kind of spiritual legacy do we want to see left by our lives? I'd like us just to take a moment. Can you pray this for yourself? This is a prayer. Can you just pray that God would teach you to number your days so that you may get a heart of wisdom? So we may understand the brevity of the shortness of life and that we would use the days to grow in wisdom and how to use the time we have left for the glory and kingdom of God. Just take a moment and pray that for yourself, please. Lord, do help us to use the time we have here to bring glory to you. Thank you that when we do what you call us to do, that's where we have the most joy and fulfillment and purpose. In Jesus' name. Now let's open up our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's on page 879 of your pew Bible, 879, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In the first couple of verses of chapter 5, he is talking about the end times. And he really, Paul's following the teaching of Jesus. He said, really, don't ask when it's going to happen. That's not the important question. The important question is, how do you prepare for his coming? How should you live your life? And that's a great question, no matter how long we're going to live or whether Jesus returns before we die. It's how are we going to live our lives with the time that we have left here on earth? And so verse 4, but you, brothers, are not in darkness. So this day, meaning the day of the return of Jesus, should surprise you like a thief. So we understand that Jesus is coming back. We shouldn't be surprised like people are going to be surprised that don't know the Lord, like this is a thief in the middle of the night breaking in. Then it says, you are the sons of light and the sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. And so we have the light of Christ inside of us. We have this fire of Christ inside of us. And we can make a difference because of that light in us to those around us. And I think it's very important that we take the light of Christ to each other and to the world. And basically, that's what he's going to get into, Paul's going to get into in a few verses down. But let's look what he says, verse 6. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. So basically, what's Paul saying here? Evil things happen at night. Darkness, using it as a metaphor here, evil things happen in darkness. And we know that that's true. But I want us to think about the darkness that we're dealing with right now. One of the things that happens in darkness, and why people do things in the darkness, is because nobody can see them, right? Nobody can see them. So they do it to hide themselves. But you see, when nobody can see you, it often means that you can't see anybody else. So darkness is also a metaphor for isolation. When you're in darkness, people can't see you, but you can't see other people. Now, and he talks about drunkenness. Well, we know, sadly, that there's a lot of addictions that are very prevalent right now. Some people are addicted to pornography. Some to shopping. Some to alcohol or drugs. And what happens when you have an addiction is that you begin to isolate yourself because you don't want anybody to come too close to you physically, emotionally, or spiritually, because you don't want them to discover this secret about you. And you feel that if somebody discovered this secret about you, that or people that were close to you, they might stop loving you or respecting you if they found out this thing about you. Well, I hope you already know this. But I, Pastor Niall, Pastor Ken, Deacon Tom, we're here. You see, most of the way, that almost always, in order for somebody to break an addiction, needs to get outside help. They need to go and get help. And the first step is often just being real. Okay, I have this struggle. I need some help. But our pride, our fear, prevents us from asking for the help that we need. So just to be able to ask for help when we need help, you're basically asking, I'm in this dark place and I need somebody to bring light, the light of freedom, into my life. And that's what he says. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. There's hope. No matter how much somebody's struggling, there's hope. The power of God can set anyone free. And then we just look here, it says, the salvation as a helmet, for God did not appoint us to suffer wrath. How many people here sin? All right, we all sin. What's the Bible say? We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. So we all sin, Romans 3:23. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is? So what do we deserve? We all sin, what do we deserve? We all deserve the wrath of God. We deserve this wrath of God. We all deserve to die. But there's one person that never sinned, that never deserved to die. And he's the one that died so that we could be set free that we could put on his righteousness, that he paid the price that we couldn't afford to pay. And that's what Paul's telling us, this helmet of salvation. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Please, it's important that you know that you have eternal life, that you know that you can go to heaven. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, verse 11, this is the key verse for us today. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So he says, you're doing it, but keep on doing it. Don't grow weary. Keep on reaching out to each other. And then it goes on and it tells us how. Go down to verse 13, the second part of verse 13. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Verse 16, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And do not put out the Spirit's fire. And so here is a list of those things that we were just told to do, just kind of in bullet points. Live in peace, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Nobody pays back wrong for wrong. Be kind to each other, to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. He's telling us, how do you bring the light to somebody? You put one of these things into practice. You put these things into practice. But I want to just focus on the word says, pray continually. Because we need the Holy Spirit. We've been given the Holy Spirit. You know, it says that the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. So there are people that are sitting in the darkness of isolation right now. And whether you listen to the Holy Spirit or not and do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do can make all the difference in the world. Do you believe that? Do you believe your obedience can make the difference in somebody else's life? To take light to somebody that's struggling in darkness. And so it's easy to be isolated in our time right now, but to make that extra effort to listen to the Holy Spirit and say, what does the Holy Spirit want me to do? Does the Holy Spirit want me to call anybody? Does the Holy Spirit want me to visit anybody? Does God care about simple things in our life and helping people just with preparing a meal for them? Like we have a chance to do with CAST, or sending a card to somebody. Can something like that make a difference in somebody's life? You know, one of the things that's interesting, you know, the gospel lesson today is about what? The wedding where Jesus turned water into wine. And it's interesting what it said about that particular miracle. This is the first of his miraculous signs Jesus performed in Cana of Galilee. He thus revealed his glory. He revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. It was like, wow, this is how he kicked everything off in terms of moving in the supernatural. Turning water into wine at a wedding? You know, it's interesting how a lot of the commentators I read are trying to figure out some deep spiritual meaning to this. And you know, it's a wedding feast, and I like the whole image of it's water, ordinary water, and it's turned to wondrous wine. You know, that's a beautiful, God can take ordinary us and use us. But why, I'd start asking some questions. Why do you think they ran out of wine? Why did they run out of wine? We don't know. Did somebody steal the wine? Were they poor and couldn't afford enough wine? Did somebody just made a big mistake and got the numbers backwards or something? Why did they run out of wine? But I believe this wedding was for somebody that was close to the family of Jesus, because Mary had the inside information that they ran out of wine. And so she told Jesus, hey, you can do something about this. Now, he didn't have enough money to buy wine, but she knew he could do something about it. And he did. Why did he change the water into wine? Is there some deep spiritual meaning to it? Or is it simply that he didn't want to see this young couple have their wedding ruined? You know, and their wedding, the celebrations went for a week. And that he wanted to have these couple hundred people at the wedding just to enjoy a week of celebrating with this couple. Not to get drunk, but just to celebrate and enjoy. Could it be that simple? He just cared about this couple and the people at this wedding to help them. They were kind of in a dark place, and he just brought this light to them. Could it be that simple? I wonder. And then the story from the Old Testament was about the widow that was about to starve, and her son stopped raining. There was a famine, and she was just about to prepare a last meal for her and her son. And what does God do? He sends this prophet to this woman. Does God care about a widow and her son? Just a couple people? And you send this great prophet to just this ordinary widow? And she wasn't even a Jew. Would he send? You know, something, you know, there's things that happen in your life that kind of leave an imprint or a template in your life. And I had this experience years ago, and it was in Jamaica. We're doing a missions trip, and we went to this little tiny church up in the mountains of Jamaica, and there were not many people in this church, and I get this word of knowledge. And the word of knowledge was that there was a young woman there that had been sexually abused as a girl, and that she was struggling with this. This was heavy on her every day of her life. And I looked around, and there were no young women in the church. There were just, maybe 10, 20 people there in this church. And I thought, how would I give this word? I don't see any young women in the whole church. But by the grace and mercy of God, I gave that word. But exactly what I thought would happen, happened. Nobody came. Nobody responded. And just near the end of the evening, I didn't know, but there was a side room. And there was a young girl in this side room, and she heard what I had said, and she came into the church and came up to me and said, I'm that girl. And every day what had happened to her had haunted her. Every day, she said. And that was the kind of word I had. Every day it haunted her. And we had a nurse that was right there. And I introduced her to the nurse, and she talked to her. She was concerned. She had venereal disease. Every day that haunted her. And I believe God set her free. And as we were coming home from that trip, I thought, you know, there were about 15, 20 people on that trip. You know, the main reason God brought us down to Jamaica was to go up to that mountain and to meet that young girl and to have that word of knowledge and set her free. Do you think God cares that much about one person? What if I had not obeyed God? Our obedience, especially as we're being led by the Holy Spirit, can make a significant difference in another person's life. Our obedience as God leads us. Let's be so available to God, available to each other. There's people we need to call, we need to encourage, we need to bring light into their life. People that know the Lord and people that don't know the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you've given us this wonderful light of Christ. And we have the great privilege to be able to take the light into each other's lives and brighten each other's days. Oh, Lord, let your light shine bright through us as people and as a church. Lord, show us anyone we need to reach out to that's isolated. And thank you, Lord, when we reach out and we're blessed in our giving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us and to show us what to do and how to do it. And it's not about us, but it's about what your Spirit tells us to do in our obedience and trust and faith. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.